So think about it like this. If I want to make $1 million and I sell a $20 product, I have to make 50,000 sales. If I want to do $1 million in sales, I sell a $20 product, I have to do 50,000 sales. If I want to make $1 million, I have a $20,000 product, I have to make 50 sales.
Oh, snap!
Right?
And 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to The Real Social Proof Podcast with Mr. Sleepers for Suckers himself, David Shands. Let's get it.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Social Proof Podcast, where we find dope people that did really, really dope stuff. We only find dope people, Larry.
That's what's up.
Only amazing people. And I recently enrolled in your high-level mastermind.
Yes, sir.
I'm thoroughly pleased.
Well, I'm thoroughly pleased that you're thoroughly pleased.
My whole life has changed.
Your whole life has changed. And you're just getting started.
I'm just getting started. I thought I had the stuff figured out, man. I was just, it's crazy, last week I was just like, letting somebody know about my successes and how it's going. And then I get into a room of a bunch of weird people that's not talking about how to make 6 figures in a year or how to make 7 figures in a year. No. The whole conversation is around, how do we make that type of money in a day?
A day, yeah.
I didn't understand.
You say you didn't understand?
Bro, I'm telling you, I'm these people are having a conversation. So I actually joined Neo's mastermind too. And he starts talking about this. Yo, we need to find, you know, how do you make 6 figures in a day? How are you going to make $30,000, $50,000 in a day? Mm-hmm. I'm like, what happened to the whole 6 figures a year? That's the whole world's talking
where'd
about.
Where'd that go? Yeah, last week I was here. That left. It's gone.
Totally different conversation. And I got to introduce y'all to Mr. Myron Golden, who has been up and winning for a long time. But not only you yourself, a big testament to your success is all of your students that are winning.
Oh, they're winning, man. They're winning big. Major. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Yes.
So who is Myron Golden? How do you introduce yourself?
Myron Golden. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, nothing fancy. Do you say, yo, I'm Myron Golden. I'm a coach. I say I'm a podcaster.
Okay.
I'm like, how do you introduce yourself typically?
I'm Myron Golden. I'm a golfaholic.
That's how you know it. I want to jump straight into it, man.
To say hi, Myron. Like, I'm Myron. I'm a golfaholic. Hi, Myron. Never mind.
Yo, but I'm telling you, before our mastermind, I was so nervous to offer higher ticket offers.
Yeah,
I got these big dreams.
Sure.
But with the product that I'm selling, I'd have to sell it to a million people.
Sure. And that's doable.
It is doable.
But is it necessary?
It's not necessary.
It's not necessary.
So walk me through this high ticket, because there's a lot of people in the world that they see people. Okay. Actually, I was online. I was doing this a boot camp. It's $2,500. Mm-hmm. And the guy said, $2,500? I just tried for $2,500. So I had to get them online because I had just invested $7,000 in event, $7,000 in going to an event, mm-hmm. and then like another $30,000 into this other mastermind. And I think I had just invested in your program. I'm not going to say how much it is because by the time they watch it, it might have changed.
It's more than likely to have gone up by.
Oh, for sure. Can we say how much it is now?
Okay.
Okay, cool. So $55,000.
Well, it's actually $155,000.
It's $155,000.
Right. But I have some grants that you can qualify for. Unfortunately for you, you qualified for two $50,000 grants.
Fortunately, I was able to save $100,000. So I only had to invest in your program $55,000. No discounts. This is not me saying I did it so that you can do it. Okay?
Yeah.
I invested. And I was happily invested.
Mm-hmm.
So the
was
guy,
that the most you've ever invested in a mastermind?
What?
I don't
Absolutely.
Know. Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And I remember when Neo said he did it. But anyway, I'm on the line. I'm on this live, and the guy says $2,500. And I said something like, yo, there's going to be, if you don't understand the investment of $2,500 to get information, it's going to be really, really hard for you to be a millionaire. And he didn't like that.
Oh, no, he didn't like it. You know why?
Why?
Because sometimes people don't like the truth, even though they're longing for it.
What do you mean?
Okay, so some people want to know the answer. As long as the answer fits into their current way of thinking. So they're longing for the truth, but then when you tell it to them, they don't like it. There are a lot of people like that.
Mm. They're longing for the truth.
But they don't like it.
But they don't like it.
They don't like it.
Give me an example.
I can give you a lot of examples. I had someone say to me, you know, I teach business based on biblical principles, for instance. Every business principle I teach is based on some Bible principle. And so there's a person who's in one of my masterminds, and she was considering, well, she was already in it by this time. And she knows I teach business based on biblical principles. And so she asked me the question, because I teach this concept about the four levels of teaching for the four levels of learning, mm-hmm. right? And the highest level is essence. The highest level of teaching, highest level of learning is essence. And what is essence? Essence is the character, the nature, and the intention of God. And so she says to me, she says, Myron, you know, you and I are, we're on opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to God, right? And I really like what you taught about the four levels of learning for the four levels of teaching, but can you tell me, like, how to understand this concept of essence without including God? I said, well, before I answer that question, let me ask you a question. Sometimes questions are the best answers. Two questions. But anyway, I said, before I answer that question, let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you this question, and I want you to give me an answer, but your answer can't be the number four or anything that equals the number four. She said, okay. I said, what's 2 + 2? She said, well, it's, I can't think of anything. I said, that's right. If you're unwilling to accept the answer that is the only answer, there is no answer. She said, oh, I get it. And there are a lot of things in our lives like that. Like people want to, here's what I mean. People are longing for the truth. Like people who, let's say somebody wants to lose weight. They're longing for the truth about how to lose weight, but they want it to be a pill. And when you tell them, eat less, move more, and drink more water, they're like, nah, it's got to be something else. They're longing for the truth, but they want to believe a lie. They don't like the truth. Like you tell people how to get rich, and you if you tell them that getting rich is learning a new skill, because people like to believe that they're right, right? And so somebody will say, yeah, but I've been working hard my whole life. I've got 40 years of experience driving this forklift. I would say, may I talk to you like you were my little brother? They would say, sure. Well, if my little brother said that to me, here's what I'd say to him. You don't have 40 years of experience driving a forklift. It don't take that long to learn how to drive one. You have 2 weeks of experience repeated over a 40-year time period. That's the difference. And so you have to learn a skill that you don't currently have if you're going to produce an outcome you cannot currently produce. And so people want to believe they're right, and they want everything to get better as long as it can stay the same. That's what I mean. People are longing for the truth, even though they don't like it.
And how do you break people out of that? As a coach, I mean, yeah, or do you not spend time doing it?
I don't. Yeah, I know you weren't looking for that answer. I don't break people out of that. I am not trying to save people from themselves. I am only looking for people who are looking for me, and I'm only ready to help people who are ready for me to help them. If I got to drag you into something that's going to make your life better, I'm going to have to drag you around and try to make your life better against your will. That's exhausting.
It is exhausting.
It's exhausting.
It is.
I can't want your better life for you more than you want your better life for you. If I do, like, all I'm going to do is frustrate myself and irritate you. And that's what ends up happening when you end up attempting to coach people who are uncoachable because they're longing for the truth, but they want to believe a lie. Am I telling you the truth?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. So you'll end up, yeah, I'll be frustrated and you'll be irritated.
Yeah. And all, like, wait a minute, why am I doing this? Like, I could go do any number of things that's way easier on my emotional status than this is. Dragging somebody around to their own success. No, you're going to win this race if I got to drag you across the finish line. Why?
Right? Because you love people.
I do love people.
You want more from them.
Right, but sometimes love has to hurt so that it can help. And see, love will sometimes hurt you, but it won't harm you, right? And sometimes the truth hurts, but it'll never harm you. Sometimes we got to experience short-term pain so we can experience long-term gain. And so I love people. I love them enough to leave them alone until they're ready. And I love me enough to leave them alone until they're ready.
And actually, I actually enrolled in your program because when it comes to sales, before now, I just wasn't that good. I have a good personality. I can talk to people. I hate sales.
Right.
I don't hate sales. You the hated process sales. Of selling.
Right.
Or asking someone to buy something that I, and it's so stupid because I know you need it.
Right.
But I have a hard time pushing you.
Right. But you don't
to realize.
But you don't really hate sales. You hate convincing somebody.
Yes.
You hate pushing somebody. That's not selling. That's what people resort to who are not good at selling. See, there's a difference. Selling is persuasion. Persuasion and convincing are not only not the same thing, they're opposites of each other. Convincing is when I attempt to get you to do something I want you to do for my reasons.
Yes.
Persuasion is when I help you make a decision you already desire to make for your own reasons. Right? And so, like when I'm selling to somebody, they already know the outcome they desire. I don't have to push them to want that thing. All I have to do is show them how the thing that I have gives them the thing that they already want. Most people when they're selling are trying to get people to want the thing they have, like for sale. Like most people in sales are trying to get other people to desire the things they have for sale. I don't do that. I just study people's problems, figure out solutions, like really great, elegant, and powerful solutions that will work for 100% of the people who work them.
Right.
And then I let them know what I have. They're like, you got that? How much is it? Whatever the price is, it doesn't matter. See, if I said to you, David, give me a dollar and I'll give you a dollar, right? Yes. And I left my wallet in the car, so I can't do that. But you give me, I give you a dollar, you give me a dollar. Okay. Before you gave me the dollar, you had a dollar. And before I gave you my dollar, I had a dollar. So if you give me a dollar and I give you a dollar, we both have a dollar.
Yes.
We can do that again, right? Yeah. And if we do that all day, at the end of the day, you'll still have a dollar, I'll still have a dollar. So it would be stupid to do that. Like, why would I do that? Why would you do that? It's a waste of time, right?
Right.
But if I said, if you give me a dollar, I'll give you $10.
I'll do that.
All day, right?
Yep.
8 days a week, twice on Sunday.
For sure.
Why? Because people don't pay you for something because the thing is worth the money to them. They only pay you when something is worth more than the money to them. Right? People will buy anything you have for sale as long as the thing that you are selling them is more valuable to them than the money they're paying you for it. Period.
And I guess we need to, in this interview, talk about how do we make this thing that we have it's already valuable. So I have this product. It's already valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've got to go through the process of persuading somebody that this is valuable.
Well, what you've got to do is persuade them that it is the answer to their question. Then they will know it's valuable. I don't have to persuade you that it's valuable. I just have to show you the value. I don't have to persuade you that it's valuable. You know, let's say you have a 14-year-old son who wants to, and he's like 5'11", and he wants to be able to dunk. And he wants to be on a basketball team, he wants to be able to dunk in high school, right?
Mm.
Okay. So he's 14, he wants to be able to dunk, and he can't dunk. He's 5'11", he's not quite tall enough yet. But I created this program that helps people who are 5'9 and 5'8 jump high enough to dunk. I don't have to make you want that program for your son. Your son already wants that program. You already want that program for, Dad, how do you dunk? Dad, how do you dunk? How do you dunk? How do you dunk? He's asking you that question every day. So you already, like, I already, if that's what your son wants, and I've created that solution, I don't have to make him want that. I don't have to make that valuable to him. People's desires are what make things valuable to them. But see, here's the problem. Most people who are in sales, or I won't say most, many people who are in sales don't have enough empathy to care what the other person wants. So they never figure out what's valuable to the other person. If you're going to be great at sales, you have to have a very, very high level of empathy. You have to be able to feel the other person's pain. And if I can feel your pain and I can know what hurts you, if I can relieve that pain and deliver you to a place of pleasure with my solution, all I have to do is show you how that solution can deliver you from pain and into pleasure. And if you believe that, number one, it's easy, number two, it will work, and number three, that you can do it,
right,
you will buy it every time. Every
That's
time.
A fact. Okay. One thing I know, and I get that concept, mm-hmm, but now we got to get into the stage selling secrets. Because I saw one of my friends from a stage, mm-hmm, in an audience generate $1 million.
In sales.
In sales. But that was that wasn't the first time I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it. I went to a Tony Robbins event, and it seemed like the event was the person presents, and then we stand up and we get excited. We sit down, and they're making an offer. I didn't know. I didn't know. But now that I'm looking back, where I saw someone have an offer, they say the amount, and people run out of their seats to go buy it.
Right.
Including myself. But then I looked back and said, what made me do that?
Right.
Fast forward to this time, I'm seeing my friend do it again. And I said, what the heck is going on?
What's he doing? Wait, what?
Because he don't normally act like that.
Wait, what is he doing? Bro, where you been? Yeah.
And I remember this was maybe, this was actually December 31st. I had a conversation with him and he showed me a check of $55,000 that he sent.
All right, let's do some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you can keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headache, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. Access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. It just makes sense. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit from NetSuite? I know you see it. Listen to me. If you have everything scattered in business, you cannot grow. And everything is more expensive when you have more and more processes layered on top of each other, more and more softwares. You got to get out of that. And it will improve efficiency and cut costs. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/socialproof. That's netsuite.com/socialproof. netsuite.com/socialproof.
To you. And then it clicked in my head. And I said, yo, whatever you did, sign me up. Give me his information immediately.
Like right now.
This wasn't even anxiety. I didn't even know what it offered, which is crazy. Okay, you just said it.
Boom. Right, because the desire is already in you. People go around trying to create desire for the stuff they've created that nobody has the desire for. Like, somebody said to me one time, I was sitting in a restaurant, I was working on some paperwork or something, I was studying something for sales or getting ready for a sales call. Somebody said, hey, are you in sales? I said, yeah. They said, what do you sell? I said, that all depends. What do you want to buy? Because I don't want to sell what I want to sell. I only want to sell what multitudes of people want to buy.
Bro, I didn't know. I was telling my wife, yo, yeah, man, I just signed up for the sales training, $55,000. She said, what? $55,000? She said, what does it come with? I was like, I don't know.
I know she wasn't trying to hear that.
So what I would love for you to do on this podcast, man, is kind of give me some insight on how this happens. How do I have an offer? And you can persuade an entire crowd.
Sure. Well, first of all, it's easier to persuade an entire crowd than it is to one person.
I don't believe it. Not yet.
Really?
Not yet.
Have you ever heard of a mob? You ever seen a mob just go crazy because they're a mob?
Yes.
Right? You don't believe it's easier to persuade a group of people? Look at all these. Okay, I got to be careful.
Yeah, help my mindset. No. Okay. Don't even be careful. I want you to be Myron. Be Myron.
Okay. Look at how they have made everybody afraid to go see their grandparents. They've controlled the mindset of the multitudes with the quote news. That's what they call it, right? The news.
Right.
Do you ever wonder why television programs are called television programs? A lot of people think they're called television programs because they're programmed into the television, but they're called television programs because they program you. Here's why it's easier to sell to a crowd than it is to one person, or to persuade a crowd to do something than it is to one person. Everybody wants to do what everybody's doing, and nobody wants to do what nobody's doing. So if somebody's I promise you, if you're in a crowd and you go outside and you start looking up and scrunching up your face, just doing this, there's nothing up there. Do you know people are going to look at you and they're going to start, and then other people will see those people. Before you know it, you have, if you're in a crowd of 1,000 people, you have 1,000 people looking at the sky, scrunching up their face. They don't even know why they're doing it. So we do. We're human beings. We model. That's how we learn how to walk. That's how we learn how to talk. And so when we see other people doing something, we don't want to be left out. You heard me listen to that Voxer message just a few minutes ago. She was like, I see all your videos on Instagram. I got serious FOMO right now. Everybody wants to do what everybody's doing. So all you got to do is figure out, how can I get a couple of people to do the stuff I want them to do? And then all of them want to do it. That's way easier than persuading one person, because everybody else in the crowd helps you persuade everybody else in the crowd.
Oh, and in one-on-one, I'm the only person that's persuading that person. Other person.
Yeah.
But in a crowd, the crowd is just
helping you persuade the crowd.
And that crowd that has persuaded the crowd was persuaded by the crowd already.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. Now I believe you.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. We're on stage. I have an offer.
Right.
Give
you some tips.
On how I can persuade the audience.
Well, give you some tips on how you can persuade the audience. First of all,
how can make more sales?
Right. First and foremost, you have to have a solution that's really, really good. Mm. It has to be good for the people who are in the audience. That's the first and foremost thing. You have to have a solution that's good.
Okay.
And it has to be good for the people who are there. Yes. Like, every solution's not good for every audience. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So if I'm in a crowd and I'm talking to a room full of people who are into biohacking, and I want to teach them how to sell, they don't care. Because value comes from the desire inside the person.
Yeah.
Right? So I have to understand the people I'm selling to enough to know what they want. Like I said the other day in the training, when I'm standing up in front of you talking to you about my solution to your problem, you come to the conclusion that I've thought about your problem longer and harder than you have, and I've found a solution.
You've thought about my problem longer and harder than I have.
Before we even met, I was thinking about your problem. Because I knew there were a group of people out there who had this problem. So before you ever heard of me, I was figuring out how to solve your problem. And then when you met me and I said, hey, I got the solution for your problem, you're like, wait, what? And you didn't even, this was before you met me. This is even before you met me. This is when you saw, right, exactly. I don't know how to sell and I don't like selling. And I saw my friend and he wasn't that good at selling. He wasn't that good last time I saw him. So what happened? Okay. So now you knew I had the problem and you didn't even know I had the solution. You didn't know I had the solution because I told you I had the solution. You knew I had the solution because you saw somebody you knew who had the same problem you had. And they bought my solution and you saw it work for them. You said, oh, you ain't leaving me behind. Shoot.
That's exactly what I said. That's exactly what you're not leaving me, bro.
You ain't leaving me, bro. So when you understand that first, you gotta have a solution. But having a solution by itself is not enough. The graveyard of ideas and inventions is full of great inventions.
Yeah.
Having a great invention is not enough. You have to be able to create a message that makes people feel like you've created their solution and it's their best chance at getting the result they desire. So the words, think about this. The words that you say when you're talking to someone about what you have for sale, that's really what they're buying. I don't care if you sell cars, they're not buying the car. If you sell shoes, they're not buying the shoes. If you sell coaching, they're not buying the coaching. What they're buying is they're buying your message about the product, your message about the car, about the shoes, about the coaching. And your message paints a picture in their mind that causes them to say, oh, I think this is going to work. Or I don't have any idea what they're talking about. Or that's not going to work. Do you realize the purpose of having a conversation with a human being is to make them think about something they weren't thinking about before you started talking to them? That's the whole purpose of having a conversation. So how do I put my words together in such a way that when I talk to somebody, they say, oh my goodness, that's the solution I've been looking for my whole life. And my dad, when he was younger, before he started having some issues with like dementia and stuff, he would say, he came to one of my seminars one time. He said, boy,
watching you up there was so great. He said, man, you had them people thinking, how did I live this long without that thing? And that's really what you want people thinking. You want them thinking, how in the world did I even live this long without the solution?
Because there are some things you wanted your whole life, yeah, right? There are some things I wanted my whole life. And when somebody comes along and says, you can have this and this is how you have it, what do they got to do? Convince me? I wanted that before I knew you, before I ever heard of you. So that's how you sell from the stage. Gotcha. So if you think about it like this, the secret to creating wealth is you have to have the right business market, you have to have the right business model, and you have to have the right business message. If you got those three things down, you can get rich in any environment.
The right business
model,
the right business market,
and the right business message.
Those right are business message.
You put those three things together, it's impossible not to get rich. What do I mean when I say the right business market? There are three types of markets, okay? The worst business market to be in is in a commodity market.
What's a commodity?
A commodity is a box of nails. A commodity is a box of light bulbs. Something that has a utilitarian purpose, but it has no emotional connection to you whatsoever. You just use it to do a thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's a commodity. Okay. Right? And so if you're in a commodity market, the reason that's not a good market is because it doesn't, one, because it doesn't have any emotion in it at all. There's no emotion in a box of nails. I just need a box of nails. I don't care what brand of nails they are. If they're the right size, it's a nails, a nails, a nails. Yeah. Right? But if you own a hardware store and I own a hardware store and ours are right down the street from each other, or right across the street from each other, and somebody's looking for nails, they come over to your store and they see your nails are $5. But I walked past your store last night. I saw they were $5. I put mine on sale for $4.90. Mm. They're coming over to my yeah, store.
For sure.
You come that night, you see mine on sale for $4.90. You put yours down to $4.80, right?
It's a race to the bottom.
They come, boom, it's a race to the bottom. They come over and buy yours. Next day, I'm $4.75. And so everybody loses in the race to the bottom. But that's not the only problem. Here's the problem with the commodity market. Your competition sets your price. Why would I want to be in a business where somebody who doesn't even have my best interest in mind sets my price?
You're talking good, Myron.
That's insane. Right? So that's not the market I want. Here's the other thing that's really, really bad about a commodity market. If I'm selling in a commodity market, I don't have a conversation with the person who's going to buy until they're ready to buy. How much is this box of nails? Mm. And I say, it's $4.75. I say, okay, here's $4.75. How can I create value and uncover value for somebody if their only question is, how much does it cost? I can't.
Got it.
Right?
Got
it. So that's not a good market to be in. Mass markets, they're better, but still not good. Why? Because in a mass,
what's a mass market,
selling cars, selling houses, something that a lot of people buy, but the cost of goods sets the price. So what you do is you buy the material, mm-hmm, make the thing, you mark it up 15 to 30%, and then you sell it.
Gotcha.
Okay. I don't want to sell that. I don't want to sell that. 15 to 30%, every $100, let's meet in the middle and call it 20%. Every $100 I sell, I make $20. Why would I want to do that? That's painful, right? Plus, my customer is going to go to someone other than me to research what I'm selling. They're going to go on Zillow if it's a house. Mm-hmm. They're going to go on Carfax.com or KellyBlueBook.com if it's a car. Right. So they're going to go look somewhere else. And if it's some other kind of commodity, like it's a phone case or something, they're going to go on Amazon. Like, why would I set myself up for that disaster?
So mass market is a commodity that is widely used.
It's more than a commodity because a car can have some emotion in it.
Yeah, for sure.
A house can have some emotion. So it's not a commodity. It's like a product that you have to have. It's essential and it has some emotion in it. But the cost of goods sets the price.
Gotcha.
Right? The cost of goods sets the price. And they go and research what they're buying from you, from somebody else, and then they come and tell you how much they're willing to pay for the thing you're selling.
Right, based on their research. Or
exactly. This is how much I'm willing to pay for that.
Right.
Wait, this is my house. You can't tell me how much to sell my house for. It's my house.
Right.
Okay, so then my favorite kind of market is premium value markets. I love premium value markets because they're insane. They don't make any sense. There's nothing about a premium value market that makes sense, except for the fact that it exists pretty much in a vacuum. It has no competition to set the price. The price is not based on the cost of goods. You can sell it for way, way more than 15 to 30%. Mm-hmm. And the people who buy premium value products, you know how people who shop at Walmart, they buy Walmart products because the price is low?
Yeah.
premium value buyers buy stuff because the price is high. Because it's high. People don't buy Louis Vuitton bags for $3,000 because it's worth
the value,
hundred times more than a $30 bag from Walmart. They buy it because it's $3,000. Right? Premium value. Like that watch you have on, that looks like a Rolex watch, right?
Yes.
You didn't buy that watch to tell time.
It's the worst time telling thing you can have when you're
You're right. You didn't buy that watch to tell time. You bought that watch so you could remind yourself every time you looked at what time it was. Oh, I'm bad. I'm a bad man.
If I don't wear it for a couple of days, then the time's off anyway.
So, right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So people, like, think about this. What was the first car you ever bought?
It was a 1984 Volkswagen something.
Okay, how much did you pay for it?
$500.
$500. Okay. What's the most expensive car you've ever bought?
A Range Rover.
Okay, how much was it?
Maybe $50,000.
$50,000.
$60,000, something like that.
$60,000, okay. So $50,000, $60,000, so that's what? $560,000, so that's 100 times more, right? Were the tires on your Range Rover 100 times more round than the tires on your Volkswagen?
Nah.
The air conditioner had to be 100 times colder.
Yeah, about the same.
Okay, and so it must have gone 100 times faster.
No.
The Range Rover gets 100 times better gas mileage.
Actually, 100 times worse. Gas mileage.
So where is the value in a premium value market? All of the value in a premium value market is in the perceived value.
All right, look, I know you're enjoying the episode, but I got to tell you, finally, you asked for it, and we created a Patreon, okay? We created an inner circle. We have amazing stories, amazing information, how-tos from the episodes. The only thing we're missing is a community. So it's about that time. We put together our Patreon. We put together our community because we have to have conversation around the information. So even this podcast we're listening to right now, there needs to be conversation. I want to hear what you got. Like, let's throw some stuff back and forth. And because we're like-minded, we're all going in the same direction. When we connect in a community, we can connect on other stuff outside the community because we're building real relationships. Okay, so check out the Patreon. We got three tiers. I don't care what tier you join. The support is appreciated. Okay, thank you so much. Now back to the episode.
It's not in the intrinsic value.
Yeah, you know what the cool thing is? I've been bragging on the fact that I've invested $55,000 in my education since I did it.
Exactly. That's my point. That is my point, bro.
Yeah. Oh, I'm talking about before I started the training.
Before you came to the training.
Got some value for me.
Right. You felt like, I got the best training there is on, I paid $55,000. This is going to be good. Right? Right? By the way, that's a preframe. Now, what is that called? That's called cognitive bias, right?
Yeah.
So because you paid so much money for it, before you even experience, you believe it's good. So, like, I got to be really, really bad to make you feel some other kind of way. Like, I don't even have to, I don't mean this in an arrogant way. I don't even have to be as good as I am to get you to feel good about paying me $55,000.
That's a fact.
Right? Because you feel good about it just because you did it. And then if I'm just a little bit good, you gonna look for some good stuff on me because you paid me so much money. Am I telling you the truth? Right? Right? And so it's in the perceived value. And part of the perceived value is the price you paid. Mm-hmm. And so people don't get that. And what's really cool.
Hold on. Part of the perceived value
is in the price you paid.
In the price I paid.
Do you know why? Because if you're the best, nobody expects you to be the cheapest. And if you're the cheapest, no one's going to believe you're the best.
Even if you are the best.
Even if you are the best. If you're the cheapest, you can't be the best. Like, if the best cardiologist in Atlanta, if their sign said, we're the cheapest cardiologist in Atlanta, even if they were the best, there's no way in the world that you could convince yourself that they were the best. Because they're the cheapest.
Gracious.
Do you understand that your price is a part of your branding?
Your price is a part of your branding.
Yeah. It's telling people how valuable you are. Is a Rolls Royce or a Bentley more valuable than a Volkswagen Jetta?
Yes.
Yes. Is it intrinsically more valuable? No.
I mean, yeah, it's handcrafted, blah, blah, blah. That does not make it intrinsic. It's made out of metal. It's got rubber tires. It's got an engine that goes boom, right? It's got a transmission, some windows, and a couple doors. Oh, they put an umbrella in the door. That's why it's worth $500,000. Come on, man. What's the the value is the fact that they sell it for so much, the people who buy them justify the fact that it costs so much because they are worth it. People who spend a lot of money on stuff for themselves, they do it because they believe they're worth it. Now, if you want to sell something to somebody, do you want to sell stuff to a bunch of people who feel like they're not worth it or a bunch of people who feel like they are?
To a bunch of people that feel like they're worth it.
Right. Like, Neiman Marcus doesn't have a sign on the door when you're walking in. We apologize that our prices are higher than Walmart, but our stuff is better, I promise. They don't. It's not a conversation that needs to be had.
Okay.
Is it?
And I've been like the cheap. It's so crazy because I couldn't understand how I put an event together and it's $10 tickets and there's not 1,000 people here.
Right.
Because I know I'm the best at teaching beginning entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
I know I'm the best.
Yeah.
But they can't believe that at $10.
Right. They can't believe it's worth it because they didn't put enough money in it. The Bible says the heart follows the pocketbook. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where I put my money, that's where my heart is. Where my heart is, that's where my emotion is. It's where my feelings are. That's where I'm going. That's what I'm focused on. Because I paid for this. Right?
Goodness gracious.
So think about it. So you got to have the right business market, right? And so premium value markets have better clients. The price is determined by the payoff. The payoff is not always monetary. A person doesn't buy a Rolls Royce because they're going to get paid a lot of money. They buy a Rolls Royce because everybody else who looks at them is, ooh, they drive a Rolls Royce. But even more importantly than that, in my mind, like I drive a Bentley and a Mercedes, but I don't drive it so other people can think I'm cool. I drive it because it makes me feel like I'm cool. Every time I get in my car, I feel like, you know what, bro? You do deserve to be. Go ahead, boy, with your bad self, right? So I don't drive it to impress other people. I drive it to impress me and to remind myself that I am worth it. Those are the kind of customers, those are the kind of clients, those are the kind of people I want to serve. The people who believe they're worth it.
Wow.
Right? And so that's you got to have the right business market. Yeah. But you also have to have the right business model. There are four types of business models. And it's so funny to watch people and to watch them operate and not know that they're struggling either because they're in the wrong market or because they're have the wrong model or both.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so the worst business model in the world, I call it the wantrepreneur business model. And that's LV times LT. So
LV times LT
equals wantrepreneur. LV, low volume, times LT, low ticket, equals wantrepreneur. They sell a low ticket product and they only sell a couple of them. Yeah, I got a t-shirt business. How many t-shirts you sell last month, folks?
That business model is terrible. And then they say stuff like, well, everybody knows I do it. Like,
right. That makes it a business, right? You're an entrepreneur. You know, you're selling, you're buying a product from a multi-level marketing company. Not anything's wrong with a multi-level marketing company, but you're buying a product from a multi-level marketing company for $40 and you're selling it for $55 and you're making 3 sales a month and you tell yourself you have a business. That's low volume, low ticket, entrepreneur. You are a entrepreneur. You want to be an entrepreneur, but you don't know how.
Right. Okay.
Can
somebody hand me that virgin mojito, please? I've been thinking about it. We ordered it
before we started.
You want something to drink?
No, I'm good.
Oh, you're sure?
I'm straight. I'm straight.
Oh my God. It's crazy. And yes. Yo,
yeah, but I already drank. I already drank one.
Mm.
So.
And it's like, I feel like I've eaten a whole meal and I need something to drink. I'm like, yo, I'm chewing on this information. I'm thirsty.
Okay. I got to wash that down. What'd you just say?
I got to wash that down. Okay, so entrepreneur.
Yes.
What's the second?
What's up, podcaster or soon-to-be podcaster? Get ready to level up your podcast game because the number one podcast education summit of the year is back and it's bigger and better than ever. I'm talking about the second annual podcast summit happening on July 4th and 5th in the content creation capital of the world. You already know, ATL, baby. Atlanta, Georgia, going down July 4th and 5th. 2 full days. Imagine this. Imagine you getting all the game you need to take your voice, your brand, your business to the next level. Imagine getting all the insider tips. Imagine getting all the know-how that you've been craving for the last 2, 3, 4 years where you're talking about you're going to start a podcast, but you haven't yet because you don't have the tools, you don't have the tips, you don't have the tricks. I don't care if you're just starting or you're a seasoned pro. This summit has something for everyone. Picture you mastering the basics of setting up your podcast or unlocking the secrets to grow your brand on social media. We're not just talking about podcasting here. I'm talking about you want to build a long form catalog, whether it's skits, movies. We got people talking about script writing. This is an incredible experience. Imagine discovering the art of securing these lucrative sponsorship deals. And that's not all. Learn the ropes of creating a pitch deck that has sponsors knocking down your door. But wait. There's more. This isn't just a summit. This is an experience. I'm telling you. Rub shoulders with industry leaders. And you got to network with the other people that are doing what you're doing. All the guests that have ever been on Social Proof Podcast, I'm giving them a free ticket. And in exchange, they promise me that they're going to sit down and do short interviews with you. We got podcast booths for our VIP members where you can sit down, pull somebody to a side, and you're going to create content in real time. I know what you're thinking. How do I get a part of this podcasting paradise? Well, it's simple. All you have to do is head over to podcastsummit.com, grab your tickets now, but hold on, because I have something really, really special for you. I got a little treat for my early birds, people who take action. The next 20 listeners and only 20 listeners who get your tickets right now, okay? I'm not only going to give you 20% off of whatever ticket level you get 20% off, but if you use the promo code BIGDEAL, it'll take 20% off immediately, but I'm also going to allow the first 20 people listening to this right now to be able to bring a friend, bring a teammate, bring a partner for absolutely free. You get general admission, they get general admission. You get VIP, they get VIP. Whatever ticket level you purchase, you get to bring a friend, partner, colleague, boo thing for absolutely free. Nothing extra required. My team's going to reach out to you, get your partner's name, or if you don't have the person you No, right now, yet, you got time, no pressure, you get us back. But use that code BIGDEAL, that triggers to let us know you get to bring someone for free. So don't wait. So secure your spot at the number one podcast education summit in the country. Join us July 4th and 5th in Atlanta. Let's turn your podcast dreams into a reality, y'all. Head over to podcastsummit.com. Use promo code BIGDEAL at checkout and get your tickets now. Don't miss out on the opportunity to take your podcast to new heights, take your brand to new heights, take your business to new heights with this unprecedented offer, okay? I'll see you at the summit. And don't forget to use promo code BIGDEAL.
Business model.
Okay. The second one is the entrepreneur. Okay. That's high volume, low ticket. You got a $100 product, but you sell 100 of them a month. You're making $10,000 a month. You're a real entrepreneur. It's low ticket, but it's high volume. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, you're an entrepreneur. You're probably a fledgling entrepreneur. You're probably a struggling entrepreneur. $10,000 a month probably sounds like a lot of money to some people, but when you have a business, it's not that much money. I mean, our payroll, not including sales commissions, our payroll is $60,000 a month for our company, right? Not including sales commissions. You throw that in there, it could jump up significantly, right? Well, it will jump up significantly. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if I'm making $10,000 a month, I'm losing money hand over fist, right? So that's an entrepreneur. Then you have what I call a Waltrepreneur.
Waltrepreneur. Spell that real quick.
W-A-L-T-R-E. P-R-E-N-E-U-R.
A Waltrepreneur. Is that a real word? You made that up?
I made it up. It's still a real word.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying. Okay.
Somebody made up all these words we're using.
I know I'm going to be mad successful because I make up words. So.
Thank you. Okay. So a Waltrepreneur is somebody who sells super high volume, low ticket products.
Super high volume, low ticket. Yep.
Super high volume. Like they're e-commerce sellers.
Yeah.
They sell iPhone cases, but they sell 1,000 iPhone cases a month, and they sell 1,000 plastic spatulas a month, and they sell 500 blenders a month, and they don't ever touch any of this stuff. They're Waltrepreneurs.
Where do you get the word Walter from?
From Sam Walton. We started Walmart.
Walt, oh, you, okay,
right here. He started Walmart. And what was his philosophy? I don't ever want to make more than 30% markup on my customers. That was his whole business model. If I get a deal on something, I'm going to pass that deal on to my customers. Everything I buy for a dollar, I'm going to sell it for $1.30. Everything I buy for $10, I'm going to sell it for $13. Everything I buy for $100, I'm going to sell it for $130. And he became the richest man in the world by a long shot. What was the long shot? He was so rich when he died. Bill Gates was the number two richest person in the world. Sam Walton was number one. When Sam Walton died, Bill Gates became number one. You know why? Because Sam Walton split up his wealth between his wife and his children, and they became the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth wealthiest people in the world. Yeah, he was three times richer than Bill Gates before he died. And how did he do it? The Waltrepreneur business model. Super high volume, low ticket products.
Yes.
My favorite business model? Have to participate in
this. Let's go. I'm participating.
But
I think
your listeners don't have to participate if they don't want to. But this, I like it. It's a lot of fun. And it gives me the ability to generate millions of dollars and work part-time. I like all that right there. That thing right there, that part. Okay. And that is, I call it the Wealthtrepreneur business model. And that is high ticket, high volume. Super high ticket, super high
volume. I got to drink to that.
Super high ticket, super high volume. So think about it like this. If I want to make $1 million and I sell a $20 product, I have to make 50,000 sales. If I want to do $1 million in sales, I sell a $20 product, I have to do 50,000 sales. If I want to make $1 million, I have a $20,000 product, I have to make 50 sales.
Oh, snap!
Right? Mm. 50 sales. 50 sales makes me $1 million. Well, you know, you're in my inner circle, and you know there are more than just a handful of people in there, right?
Wait a minute. All these,
I was counting. Wait a minute. All these people crazy like me. Okay. I ain't the only one, right?
Right.
And so, and that's just one of our high-ticket coaching programs. We also have a coaching program where we sell a coaching program. It has some grants and stuff, but at the end of the day, we sell it between $20,000 and $25,000, right? Mm-hmm. So we have another 60 some odd people in there. Then we got a super high ticket program we sell for $1 million. And right now there's only one person in that, but we're revamping it. So
that's amazing though. What made you say, you know what? I'm going to have $1 million.
That's a great question. Program. So, cause I was talking to some friends of mine back when some friends of mine were speaking at one of my events and they knew that like if I do an event, if we got 10 people, I'm gonna do six figures, right? They already knew. Right. If we got 30 people, I'm gonna do multiple six figures. We got 100 people, forget about it. Right?
You're talking about in the room.
And so I had them speaking at one of my events.
Hold on. So you're saying if you got like 30, 40 people.
Oh, yeah, we'll do hundreds of thousands of dollars in sales, at least 200,000.
Does it matter what the room is or?
Well, it does. Yeah, it matters because it has to be something they care about. So I'm going to invite the people to the room who I know what they care about. And so when I make them the offer, I know they care about the thing I'm offering more than they care about the money they're going to pay for it. Does that make sense? Okay, it does. Okay, cool. So I had two friends of mine there, and they're really super smart entrepreneurs. In a lot of ways, they're both smarter than me. Like they're guerrilla marketers. They get the deal. They understand the deal. They can make it rain like a hurricane too. So I was talking to them. I said, "Hey, bro, how many of y'all $50,000 offers are y'all selling?" They said, "None." I said, "Would you like me to tell you why?" They said, "Sure." I said, "Because you don't have a $50,000 offer to offer." They said, they went and created a $50,000 offer, started offering, and they started selling like hotcakes, right? And then I thought to myself, not after they did that, but as soon as I said that to them, well, okay, how about you, big boy? You got $1 million offer? How many of your $1 million offers you sell? Like it was me talking to me.
Right.
How many of your $1 million offers you sell? Well, none. Why? You ain't got $1 million offer to offer. Okay, I'm going to have $1 million offer from this day forward, every time I stand up. Until I sell at least one, every time I stand up in front of a room, I'm going to tell them about my $1 million offer. And see who takes advantage of the deal. And so I started making the offer in November of 2018. And I closed my first one in January of 2020.
$1 million offer.
Yeah.
The audacity.
The nerve of some people.
To come up with $1 million offer.
Oh, bro, I got a $20 million offer for governments. Like I can show a government how to revamp their economy, like in an underdeveloped country, up and coming development, like $20 million, I'll come in. If you do what I say, your economy will turn around in a very short period of time. Because, and you know, I already said this a couple of days ago, like, but because you were there, creating wealth is about basic human psychology and fifth grade math. You don't have to be some, you don't have to understand algebra and trigonometry and all that right there. No, basic fifth grade math. Basic human psychology.
Give me the basic fifth grade math.
Basic
part of that, yes.
Basic fifth grade math. This is not going to include any percentages or anything. This is just going to be basic multiplication tables. You want to make $1 million, write a book that sells for $20 and sell 50,000 of them. How do you sell 50,000 on them? Get on a podcast like this. Get on 50 podcasts like this and sell 1,000 books per podcast. Congratulations. You just did $1 million in sales.
Basic fifth grade math.
Basic fifth grade math. Watch this. One of the real cool things I learned in elementary school about math. I've always loved math. And you know I'm a geek because you heard me talk about how geeky I am for the last couple of days, right? So I wasn't great at spelling and still not, but I was great at math. Like from day one, numbers just made perfect sense to me because they were always the same. There were no changes. There was no I before E except after C, except in the case of lay and way. 2 + 2 is always 4. 5 + 5 is always 10. So I knew, like, I could count on this math stuff to always be the same.
Right.
Right? And so... somebody taught me. I don't remember if it was one of my teachers or...
It's so important that Black voices are represented in Black media for so many different reasons. And the next generation of Black voices and influencers from Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collections, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. And every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Smurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. I listen and I'm enjoying these conversations that are for us, by us. Black representation, again, it hasn't always been shared from our perspective. And Black perspectives haven't been censored in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as very nuanced and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen to the Black Stories, Black Truths on NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
Another kid, did you know that if you're multiplying two numbers that end in zero, all you have to do is multiply the two numbers and then count the zeros and bring them down?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like in 50,000, there's 4 zeros. And in 20, there's 1 zero, right? So 2 times 5 is 10. Boom, bring down to 10. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 0, boom, that's $1 million. Mm-hmm. Right? That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So, but then I thought, but wait a minute. If that's true, it doesn't matter where you put the zeros. So if you take a zero off the back of the 50,000, you put it on the back of the 20, and if you have a $200 product instead of a $20 product, instead of having to sell 50,000, you only have to sell 5,000. So I literally move a zero. I can do 1/10 of the work and make the same money.
It doesn't matter where you put the zeros.
Basic fifth grade math. And I said, if I can move one zero, I can move another one. What if I had a $2,000 product? So I take a zero off the back of the 5,000, I put it on the back of the 200, it becomes 2,000. If I can create a $2,000 solution for somebody, if I sell 500 of them, that's $1 million. Well, wait a minute. 500? Oh, that's only 2 a day, 5 days a week. I can have weekends off and still make $1 million. Sign me up.
Absolutely.
And I just kept moving zeros and moving zeros and moving zeros. And all of a sudden, basic fifth grade math, human psychology, boom, congratulations, you're a millionaire.
Walk me through the basic human psychology.
Oh, basic human psychology is this. If you work with human nature, it works for you. If you work against human nature, it works against you. Human beings do things for one reason and one reason only, because they feel like it. So most people, when they're selling, what they're doing is they're trying to get the person they're selling to buy. When I'm selling, I don't ever try to get the person to buy. What's your objective?
To create an environment that makes them feel like buying.
Okay. To create an environment that makes them feel like buying.
Right. Like if I wanted to create an environment that makes you feel hungry, I could go in the kitchen, I could take some onion powder and some garlic powder, a little bit of olive oil, and put it in a pot with some boiling water and turn it on. And just let it simmer for a little while. And all of a sudden you start smelling, man, I'm hungry. Something smells good. Put a little oregano, a little basil in it. Something smells good. I created an environment that made you hungry. Right? So how do I create an environment that makes people feel like buying? Well, it starts with understanding human nature, right? And so the first critical, first base in selling, it's so counterintuitive. If you feel like I need you, you believe you don't need me.
If I feel like you need me,
then you believe
that I'm going to believe that I don't need you.
Exactly. So if you feel like I'm trying to make a sale because I want to make some money, or I need to make the sale, you're not buying from me. So the more I try to get you to buy, the harder I work at trying to get you to buy, the less likely you are to buy. The more I lean in, the more you lean out. But if that's true, based on the law of polarity, what? The more I lean out, the more you lean in.
Yeah.
So if I become totally if I become totally disconnected from my need for you to buy something from me, I have increased the chances of you buying dramatically.
Just by
not trying to get you to buy. Like, so trying to get you to buy makes you not want to buy. Not trying to get you to buy makes you want to buy just because I'm not trying to get you to buy. Like, buy.
That's basic human psychology.
Basic human psychology. If you, a guy, teenage boy meets teenage girl. If teenage boy is crazy about teenage girl ain't thinking about teenage boy. Am I telling the truth?
Facts.
If teenage boy meets teenage girl and teenage girl is crazy about teenage boy ain't thinking about teenage girl. Mm. But as soon as she looks like she ain't interested, now he's interested. As soon as he looks like he ain't interested, now she's interested.
So they start flirting with somebody else. She's like, hold on, you got over me?
That quick? Right? it's the exact same thing. So if based, this is why people like to buy stuff from people who are rich. Because they look at the rich person, well, they don't need my money. So they must be selling this thing to me for some other reason. Okay. Right?
Yes. Yes.
That's basic
yes.
human psychology.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
stop being so thirsty, y'all.
Thank you. That's real talk, bro. Yeah. And so you have the right business you have the right business market, and then you have the right business model, premium value business model. Like that's like I only want to sell like we're talking the high ticket times high volume,
yes.
Right? That's my business model. I'm in the right place at the right time. And here's what else is cool. My conversation with you in that market starts with you long before you know I have anything to sell you.
Explain that. I need clarity.
Okay. So I might drip content, like your podcast, this podcast, right? You have a podcast. People listen to your podcast and they listen to it again. They're like, man, that David Cat, he's pretty smart, right? And then they find out you have something for sale after they're already addicted to your content. Now they're willing to pay you.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So what you do is you create value in the marketplace before they know you have something to sell them. What's the guy's name? I don't remember his name, but he wrote a book called Dig Your Wells Before You're Thirsty, right? So what you're doing is you're creating an appetite for what you have for sale before you let them know you have it for sale. In 2007, when Apple came out with the iPhone came out in July of 2007. Apple launched their first iPhone commercial in April of 2007.
Okay.
They created the appetite for the thing before they created the thing for the appetite. The iPhone wasn't ready.
Gotcha.
They primed the pump. They got the market ready. That's why every time an iPhone goes on sale, they created an environment where every time a new iPhone comes out, even though you have one that's working perfectly fine, people were lined up out the door and around the block to buy that iPhone.
Gosh. Oh, you just gave me an idea. Okay. Oh, all right. So if I want to sell something, I need to start creating the environment.
Yes.
For the sale to happen.
Yes.
And you know what? I don't even want to go over the third part because I want to go over something else.
Yes, sir. I'm here with you, bro.
Can we do a bunch of these interviews? Hey. Like, I got time.
You got time, bro. Let's do it. Come back to Tampa, like, and I'll introduce you to some of my friends. You can talk to them, too. Let's go.
Yeah. Yo, he started. First off, Joe, you weren't in the car, but we're driving. And he's like, yeah, man, I got some friends that you can jump on the podcast. And he starts naming all these super duper wealthy people. It's like, yeah, they'd love to do it. Then he called one of them, like, yo, my friend, he has the dope podcast. You need to be on it. They're like, okay. I'm like, what? That person? Yeah, so that's going to happen. But I do have to tell you.
Tell me.
Here was my struggle. And this is why I think you're so valuable.
Tell me.
I've been telling people you have to start a podcast.
Yes.
Everybody needs to start a podcast.
That's real talk.
Who you are.
That's real talk.
You have a product, a service. You have to start a podcast because you get to talk about the essence of your product and how much this product is amazing and every conversation around your product.
Exactly.
And people get addicted to watching it.
Sure. Real talk.
So I'm like, I want to help people start a podcast. But the problem was I didn't necessarily feel comfortable doing the work because I'm a low ticket guy. I'm not going to charge you $2,000 for me to like help you build a seven figure. I made $1 million on this podcast. It takes so much of me. For $2,000, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
But people need to do it.
Right.
But because I don't want to charge, I don't do it. So I'm leaving people out.
But if you don't charge them enough, they're going to buy your, let's say if you did charge them $2,000, mm-hmm. they'd buy it from you and they still wouldn't do it. Why? The heart follows the pocketbook.
That's a fact.
They got to be vested, bro. You might spend $2,000 on something and do nothing with it. You ain't going to spend $20,000 on something and not do nothing with it because your wife ain't going to let you get away with that. Can I get away with that?
Exactly. So our joy is it's $30,000 mm-hmm. and I get to spend 6 months with these people mm-hmm. and I get to give them the game. But here's the thing. It's not, and I would love for you to go through tactics in the four levels. Can you do that? No. I want to go through offers. We're going to just have to do a bunch of podcasts, okay?
Sign me up, bro.
Yes, but these people, I didn't have to convince.
No.
I just got an epiphany just now.
Yeah.
They wanted it.
They already wanted it. They already want the podcast. All you have to do is show them how it's way more valuable than $30,000. Right? This is the solution you've been looking for. $30,000? That's being, you know what's crazy? People value things that are not valuable and don't value things that are. What do I mean? Somebody will pay a university full of professors who've never done a thing to teach them how to do the thing they've never done. So they can graduate and get a piece of paper to hang on their wall so they can go get a job waiting tables to pay off 4 years of paying that university. I'm telling the truth. That's a fact. And then when you can help somebody produce a result, you made $1 million with the podcast. So there's no doubt if you can make $1 million on your podcast, you can show somebody else how to make $100,000.
Absolutely.
Right? Well, people who spend $100,000 on a college degree, most of those people don't ever make $100,000 a year in their life. In their life, David. So how could that possibly be more valuable than learning a skill that's going to pay them for the rest of their life?
But people, they'll sign up for college all day long and then encourage their kids to do it.
Do the same thing, even though it didn't work for them. You're going to get a college degree. It didn't work for me, but it's bound to work for somebody in our family. One of these days. No! Man, not only did I not stress my kids out about going to college, I didn't stress them out about high school. Mm. Teachers were like, oh, your child's not getting good grades. Okay, here's the deal, kid. Here's the deal. The government says you got to go. I don't care nothing about this thing called school. I don't care nothing about it. It's largely a waste of time. And I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me about what I just said.
A lot of you talking good.
If you want to know what school's really about, go read Weapons of Mass Instruction.
Weapons of Mass Instruction.
It was written by a 5-time Teacher of the Year, John Taylor Gatto, 5-time Teacher of the Year in New York. And he wrote a book called Dumbing Us Down, and he taught. He wanted to be a teacher his whole life. And when he discovered the real purpose of school, he was so disillusioned and he was just so heartbroken, he decided to put the miseducational, misdirectional system, that's what I call it, the miseducational, misdirectional system of the government indoctrination camps, child prisons, schools, whatever you want to call them, he decided to put them on blast. And I don't have any opinions about anything. And if I did, I'd never say it out loud.
I think you kind of said it out loud a moment just now.
Right. But he put it on blast because the purpose of the miseducational system is not to produce people who think, but it's to produce workers for the businesses and consumers of their products. That's the purpose of it.
Yeah.
And there are so many lessons. You go read the books. I don't have time to teach you what that book says. Go read it, like, if you want to know. But I told my children, I said, look, here, pass. Do your best, because that's going to make you a better person. And pass so we can get this over with. But I ain't going to stress you out about no A squat to me. B, C, just pass. I don't care if you pass with all D's. I don't care. It was like, here's what's crazy.
See, this is what I wanted to know was going on in your house. Both your kids are successful.
Yeah, crazy successful. So here's what's crazy. PTA me. Mr. Golden, your child's not getting their homework done. First of all, let me help you understand something. Little Mr. Teacher, sir. Little Miss Teacher, ma'am. It ain't homework. It's schoolwork. Y'all didn't finish teaching them in school. I'm paying y'all. This is a private school. I'm paying y'all to teach them this stuff that is so important to y'all.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make me feel like I'm not a bad parent because I don't spend my evenings relearning something I don't ever use and they won't ever use so I can help them pass a grade to validate your degree? You are some kind of out your mind. I said, and if you don't want me to send my child to school with a backpack full of dishes they didn't get washed last night, stop sending all this junk to my house. And yes, I told them that. It ain't homework. Anyway, can you tell I got a little attitude about it?
I clearly see the passion.
Well, here's why I had such an attitude. I love my family. And I think, you know, you met so many of my family members already this mm-hmm. weekend, right? I love my family. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my grandbaby. I love my son-in-law. I love my brothers. Like, I love my family. Like, my family are my people. Mm. People are like, oh, my team won. My team didn't win until the Goldens win. My team is the Golden.
Right.
My team don't have a number on their jersey. My team says Golden on their jersey. Mm-hmm. If we ain't winning, I don't care who else is winning. Anyway, I love spending time with my children. When they were teenagers, when they were little, I love spending time. I love doing stuff with them. When they were in high school, every day they'd come home with 6 hours worth of so-called homework to do. So now we can't spend time with each other. And then on the weekends, they're so exhausted from the time they wasted memorizing all the minutiae they're never going to use. They want to spend all week, half the weekend sleeping, so we still can't do anything. It's such a the miseducational system is such a terrible thing to do to a family.
It's terrible.
By the way, and for these people for whom school has become their religion, let me help y'all with that. High school didn't exist until the 1930s. There was no such thing as high school in America until the Depression. It did not exist.
Really?
It did not exist. People graduated from the eighth grade, seventh or eighth grade, 13 years old, go get a job, help provide for the family. The reason they started high school was because there weren't enough jobs for the adults. And so you got all these boys on the street between 13 and 18 years old. We got to figure out something to get these kids off the street. So we're going to start this thing called high school. Now we're going to waste more of their time. And so since it worked and the government got to collect money in school taxes, we might as well keep it going.
And then you create college to kind of keep them in that same.
You create college to get them head over heels in debt. And so they're so focused on, they get so far in debt before they graduate from college. And they finally get married. Then they get a mortgage. They get farther in debt. They get so far in debt by the time they're 25 years old, they can't see their way out. So now they're a slave to the system that conned them for the rest of their lives.
Oh, man. Okay, I've got a new message when I get home to my daughter. Question for you. So check this out. And I got to get to this. The making more offers.
Mm-hmm.
No offers.
Offers.
Challenge. Because you challenge people.
I do.
Can you tell me a little bit about this?
So I've coached thousands of entrepreneurs. And you know, we just had an event last 2 days. We had 13 people who won 100K day awards for doing $100,000 in revenue in their business in a single day. Right?
First off, I didn't qualify in time, but I qualified.
Oh, okay. All you got to do is let me know, bro.
I did. Man, you said the next one.
The next one, you'll get it. Okay. Yeah. So you qualified. Okay. So yeah. And we had a couple people for whom that was the case. Mm. Like Ryan qualified as well. So we already got people for the next one who didn't get their awards this time, right? So you get 100K
day
awards.
That's crazy, bro. The competition is about how much you made in a day.
Yeah.
$100,000 in a day.
In a day, yeah.
And then the next level is?
$1 million day.
$1 million day.
And then a $5 million day. We have one person so far who's crushed the $5 million day. We've got eight people who've crushed the $1 million day or more. And like 100K day is not $100,000. It's $100,000, $200,000, $500,000, $800,000, $900,000, $700,000. Like some of those people did $750,000 in a day. They got a 100K day award. Now, some people were, why didn't you give them a 700K day award? Because it's like a milestone. 100K day is a milestone. If you can do 100K, you can do 500K, right? And we want them to stretch to hit that $1 million day. And then we make the next one like $5 million away.
Yeah, my boy, he was sick. I know he was mad about that. Like, right? Oh, he's
so close by, like, yeah, that much. Exactly.
Hey, y'all, I ain't going to lie, man. They sent me this Eufy lock. Think about being on the couch. Someone rings the doorbell. Your child left their key at school, and they need you to get off the couch to open the door. Well, you don't have to do it anymore with this Eufy lock. You can open, unlock, see who's at the door all on your phone. It's super easy to install. You can set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. It's keyless entry, so it's no more fumbling for your keys when your hands are full coming from the grocery store. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Listen, you put your fingerprint on there, even if you got your bags, you put one finger out there, boop, you get to unlock your door that way. No battery anxiety. You don't have to worry about the battery dying. Quick charging. It's incredible. Also, passcode unlocking and remote control with a 2K clear sight camera so you can see who's at the front door. You're in control anywhere from the app. Enhanced night vision. It's absolutely incredible. No monthly fee either. So unlike other brands that charge a monthly fee, you have recordings locally, and you don't have to pay for the storage. Customer support is on 10. Listen, Eufy is on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by our professional customer service team. Listen, you can contact them anytime, telephone, email, or live chat. Okay, listen, you need this Eufy lock. You need to look it up. All you have to do is go to the official website, Eufy, EUFY.com. I just ordered mine, okay? I love this product. It is incredible. It's a game changer. It makes life so much easier, right? So if you have a video doorbell already or any smart lock, it's time to replace it. It's time to replace it. So listen, search Eufy, EUFY video lock. Search Eufy Video Lock. That's EUFY Video Lock. Or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door. Okay? You can get a complete control of your front door, your life, back door. Incredible. Okay? So search Eufy, EUFY Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock.
But in coaching like thousands of entrepreneurs, I've been in this business since 2003, so almost 20 years. The number one common denominator I've seen in businesses that fail, bigger than any other common denominator, the number one common denominator of failing businesses, they don't make enough offers. And it's so fascinating. They don't make enough lead generation offers, so they don't generate enough leads. They don't make enough core product offers, so they don't generate enough revenue. They don't make enough high ticket offers so they don't ever get far enough away from the wolf at the door. They don't make enough continuity offers, so they're starting over every month. Like our continuity every month, like our automatic money that comes in every month is six figures before we get out of bed. Like how much bandwidth does that free up in your mind? And so I created a challenge to teach people how to make more offers and therefore change their life for the rest of their life. What's really cool, every business book, every business growth book that's ever been written, there are thousands of them. Every business growth book that's ever been written in the history of business is only about four things. Which means if you want to grow your business, there are only four things you have to do to grow business.
Give me the four. Give me the four things you have to do. Are you taking these notes, Joe?
Okay, four things. Four things you got to do to grow business. Number one, you got to increase your lead generation.
You have to increase your lead generation.
Lead generation. In other words, you can't run out of people to sell to.
Okay.
Number two, you have to increase your lead conversion. That means you're converting them from leads to sales. So like right, and I'll give you a perfect example. How if you fix these four things, if you're doing $10,000 a month right now, by the time you get done fixing these four things, your business will be at $128,000 a month minimum. Like fix four moves. Every time it worked. This is like people think, well, how do you get people to $100,000 a day, $1 million? That's easy. We fix four things. Four things, period. So now I can fix four things and then go to the golf course, right? Okay, so increase your lead generation. Mm-hmm. Lead generation, lead conversion.
Conversion.
Customer ascension. Convert means to change. So I'm converting them from a lead to a customer. So now we're not talking about leads anymore. We're talking about customer ascension. What does that mean? I sell my customers higher and higher priced solutions. Customer ascension. And then the last one is customer retention. Do you know what the best customer retention programs in the world are?
What?
Continuity programs. That's where you buy something once, but you pay for it every month. Like what? Like Netflix. That's a continuity program. It's a multi-billion dollar continuity program. It's a multi-million dollar retention business. Multi-billion. I'm sorry. Didn't mean million. Multi-billion. Apple introduced Apple Music. $10 to $14.99 a month.
Billion.
Millions of people buying it. This is a multi-billion dollars a month. No wonder Apple's worth $2 trillion. Because they have all four of these things in place. You put all four of these things in place, it's impossible for you in a business not to grow. And I know we have to be done.
Yes.
Do you want me to show you really quickly how to take your business from $10,000 a month to $128,000 a month in 4 months?
How often do you do the challenges?
I do the challenge once a month.
Okay. Go ahead. So we'll have something below so that y'all can go for it.
So 4 moves, take your business. So here, let's assume you have a $1,000 product that you sell. You sell the product for $1,000. You're generating 100 leads per month. You're converting 10% of those leads. So you're generating 100 leads per month. You're converting 10%. 10% of 100 is a 10 sales at $1,000. That's $10,000 a month. That makes sense so far, right?
Makes sense.
Okay. So the first thing we're going to do to fix your business is we're going to double your lead generation. Instead of generating 100 leads a month, we're going to show you how to get better at generating leads so you start generating 200 leads a month.
Give me one hack or one tip you have on.
Okay. So when you're generating a lead, generally speaking, the lead is someone who does not know you.
Right.
Okay. So, and this is one of the things I teach in the challenge is, and we really go into deep dive because we spend a whole day on this. The whole first day is on this. And if somebody doesn't know you, if they're cold traffic, they don't know who you are, they've never heard of you. If you try to lead them into a pleasurable result, they will not trust you. So if you make them some big, bold promise about some great outcome they're going to get, they won't trust you. They will not give you their name and email address. But if you lead them away from pain, they'll give you their name, their email address, their phone number, their grandbaby social security number. I mean, not literally, but almost, right? So what you want to do when you're generating leads is instead of saying 7 steps to 7 figures, you say the 7 biggest mistakes entrepreneurs are making that's keeping them from 7 figures.
Leading them away from pain.
Leading them away from the pain, away from the mistakes they're making, away from the pitfalls, away from the dangers. The 5 worst foods you can eat unless you want weight to stick to you like glue. Right? Boom. You want to get that free report? You put your name and email address in. Lead the cold traffic away from pain, not towards pleasure.
Got it.
That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay. That's like the fastest thing you could do to increase your lead generation. So lead generation. So now we generate 200 leads. If everything else in the business stays the same, we just took our business from $10,000 a month to $20,000 a month. We've only fixed one thing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But now let's fix our conversions because most businesses are horrible at sales. And so they're always talking about their product. Or they're talking about their process, or they're talking about their pieces, or they're talking about their person. We've been in the business for 572 years. Nobody cares about that stuff. Nobody. So instead of talking to them about your pieces, your process, your pieces, your process, or your person, or your product, talk to them about the payoff. What do they get? Mm. Make your presentation about what they get, not about what you have. If you do that, it'll increase your conversion. So let's say you double your conversions from 10% of the leads you generate to 20%. So now you're generating 200 leads per month, but you're converting 20%. So now 20% of 200 is 40 and $1,000. You fix two things in your business. Now you're doing $40,000 a month. It's basic math. How cool is this?
And in the challenge, you go through all steps.
Oh, I go into way more detail than this, but I'm just showing you how it works. So the next one is high ticket, right? You got to add a high ticket offer. So let's say you add a $10,000 offer because your customers that you're selling your $10,000 offer to, they're spending their $10,000 with somebody else. Mm-hmm. Why did Mercedes create the Maybach? Because they got tired of sending their best customers to Rolls-Royce and Bentley because they didn't have anything to sell them.
Mm.
So they said, we're going to create a solution. They said, we're going to create a solution for our high-end buyers so that we have something to sell. Now they don't have to go to Rolls-Royce anymore.
Right.
They don't have to go to Bentley anymore. So you create the high ticket offer. If you don't have a high ticket offer, you are forcing your best customers to spend most of their money with somebody other than you.
That's what used to get me too, because I didn't have anything and I saw the people that I just knew didn't have $10,000 spending $10,000
on somebody else's thing.
On somebody else's stuff.
Right. And then the last thing is you add continuity. And so you add the high ticket offer. Let's say you only convert 10% of the sales. You're making 40 sales, you convert 10% of those. That's four people. You make four high ticket sales a month of the people who already bought your other thing, right? So you got four people buying a $10,000 thing. That's $80,000 a month. If you add a concept called forced continuity, where you give people a free trial of a software, free trial to a membership, free trial to a newsletter, and that newsletter is $100, newsletter software membership is $100 a month. You give them a free trial for 3 months. But everybody, you have to take that offer in order to buy the $1,000 thing. Now everybody automatically signs up for the $100 a month thing. And after 3 months, the payments kick in. So you're generating 40 leads a month, 40 sales a month, but they're also getting on $100 a month continuity. So watch what happens. So now that's 40 times 12, that's 480 sales times $100, that's $48,000 a month. You add that to the $80,000 a month, congratulations. You fix four things in your business, you're at $128,000 a month.
Myron, I'm not even like going to end this interview because I was going to end it because because I have like an ending question. But to make sure we do another one, like a part two, I'm just not going to end it the way I normally end it.
I like it.
I'm going to end it this way. For one, I'm taking the next six challenges you got. Okay. Exactly. Because I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this process. So we'll have a link. We'll have a link in the description for people to take the challenge.
Absolutely.
Does it cost for the challenge?
Oh, yeah. So the general admission for the challenge is
$97.
$97? $97.
Hold on, $97 a month?
No, $97. Just $97. General admission is $97. The VIP is $297.
You do this every month?
I do it every month. I have people who've gone through this challenge. They've never done a challenge before. They didn't know anything about how to do a challenge. And $235,000 is their first challenge. $42,000 is their first challenge. I had one girl who took the challenge and we sell a coaching program at the end. She didn't buy the coaching program. She just took the challenge. 5-day challenge. She did everything I told her to do on the challenge. Within 3 days, she made $24,000. Like, it's because it works. Here's what's really great about when you know you have stuff that works. All you have to do to be successful in business is to prove to people that you can help them by actually helping them. I got that from Frank Kern, but it makes sense. Prove to people that you can help them by actually helping them. And then they know they're like, wow, he helped me. I had these two guys, young cats. You met them, Josh and Wasi.
Mm-hmm.
They came to my challenge in May. They had the worst month they'd ever had in their business. They did $10,000 that month. In June, they did $60,000. In July, they did $101,000. It's four moves, bro.
I'm taking this challenge. Joe, you going to take the challenge?
He said, for sure. No, I ain't missing that.
Yeah, right. Yo, Myron, thank you. And the only reason we got to cut it, obviously, we're in Tampa right now, and we just got stuff to do.
Yeah, we got
it. But yo, link in the bio. Y'all will see me in the challenge. I really got to say thank you.
My pleasure, bro.
My mindset has changed, bro. My family says thank you. My children say thank you because you're reshaping how I think about wealth.
Wow.
And now I truly understand that I can do it because it doesn't have a whole lot to do with my ability.
Right.
It's, yo, these are four moves.
Fifth grade math, human psychology, and four moves. Let's go.
Let's go. All right, Myron, close us out, man. Close us out with a word of wisdom. Just to put a bow on this thing, man.
You are more than you think you are. You can do more than you think you can do. And when you step into your real identity, you will have more than you currently have.
Can't close it out no better than that. Yeah, boom. Look, do yourself a favor. Go get you some social proof, meaning go build something, then come back to your community and teach them how to do it. That's the only way our community grows. Make sure I see y'all in the challenge. All right, the link is in the description somewhere. All right, let's go. Appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you, brother.
David Chance presents to you the Morning Meetup. Do you have an idea you need to get off the ground? Are you a small business owner looking to earn supplemental income or replace your current income? Come and join the most amazing mentorship and accountability group for entrepreneurs. Live with David Chance himself. That's right. This is not pre-recorded and it's not a replay. This is live every morning, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern. In addition to the live calls, you'll also receive a weekly individual Q&A call, a private Facebook community, access to all call replays, and access to David's list of
resources and contacts. You need to be in an environment of success. So head over to themorningmeetup.com today for your $1 7-day trial. That's right, just $1 for 7 days of access to the Morning Meetup. Take massive action towards manifesting your dreams today. themorningmeetup.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.